So good to see you guys in the house of the Lord this morning. Man, it's been a tough week, huh? You know, and sometimes it just didn't seem to let up. And when we have weeks like this, you got to remember there's only one way to get out of it, and it's to get into the Lord. When you're having a rough week, that's it. You got no other choice. You got to press into the King of Kings. Amen. Hey, a couple of announcements before we get started. Youth group is going to be this Wednesday, and it's going to be for middle schoolers and high schoolers only. So no middle-aged 35-year-old men. you would think that goes without saying, but you know, you never know. So no 35-year-old men on youth group, and it's going to be this Wednesday night at 5:30 to 6:30. Get with Philip or Sydney, raise your hand. If you've guys got kids, get with them and get that hooked up for this coming Wednesday. Also, big announcement, the carpet for cash has been funded. I can't tell you who it was because they'll get so mad at me, but I will tell you this, it was such a blessing for this person to send me a text this week, and they're just like, you know what, check this out, I'm going to take care of the rest of it. And we had raised about close to 500 somewhere in there, and this person just said, you know what, we're going to go for it and take care of the rest of it. So is that awesome? That is so cool. We're going to get this place carpeted up before the end of October. That's our goal, and that's where we're going to have it. Also, too, please keep Donna in your prayers. As you guys know, her son, Courtney, took his life Sunday after church. And this is nothing that anybody should have to ever endure, is having to bury one of your children. And this is the second one within a couple of years. And it's a very difficult time in a lot of different ways. And we really need to depend upon the Lord to give all of us grace and mercy and strength during this time. So would you do me a favor, and would you remember Donna when you guys are praying and you're lifting up your requests before the Lord and her family? In fact, let's just do it now. How about that? So Father, we come into your presence. Lord, on behalf of our sister Donna, we love her so much. We pray strength, Father, for her. Peace over her family. Give them strength, Lord. Guide them through this. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name, that whatever we can do, that we do. Father, I pray that we remember to reach out the best that we can reach out. But we weep with her. And so, Father, we pray that you give her the grace to get through it. In Jesus' name, church said, amen. Let's grab our Bibles and head on over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 is where we're going to be wrapping up. If you've missed the series, we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians. How's it been going so far? Good. Praise God. We'll keep it going. We'll keep it going even if he didn't like it. We're going to keep doing it. So here's the thing. Paul, last week, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, everybody's favorite chapter, right? Because it's all about love. And when I found out I had to teach a passage, my first thought was, I don't want to teach it because I'm not into like this feely love stuff, right? I'm a dude and I'm kind of weird when it comes to affection. I try, but I'm touched. And so when I saw that, I started searching the scriptures about what Paul was talking about. And it's really almost like a divorce court where he's saying love is long-suffering and love is kind. Love is patient and it's enduring and it hopes for all things. It bears all things. It believes all things. And when I was reading all of that, these are attributes that God wants us to have. Did you know it? Here's the problem with you knowing it is you don't live it. That's my problem too. I mean, how many of you have had those conversations where you said, Lord, I need to be just a little bit less creepier, right? I need to be a little bit more patient. Hey, none of you knew. I didn't tell you nothing. You guys didn't know when the Lord's telling me to be all those things. Now, the way we can go about it is this. We can either do like a mantra. I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be more kind. I'm going to be more, and do, you know, get in a fetal position until it happens. You can wish it. You can try and fight for it. But at the end of the day, you know how you do it? You John 15 it. John 15, 5, what did Jesus say? I am the vine, you are the branches. And if you stay connected in me, you'll bear much fruit. So you know what? Fruit takes time, doesn't it? Sometimes it takes time for a tree to produce fruit. So listen, if you're not there yet, it's okay. God's merciful, he's gracious. And he's going to do a fruit in you as long as you stay in him. And so that's what we do. So Paul's telling them, listen, I want you guys to have this love for each other. And you know what? Sometimes that can be difficult. It can be hard. In chapter 14, now Paul moves into this area of spiritual giftedness where they're abusing certain gifts in the church. And they're not being very loving. And the problem with them is that they're very big on speaking in tongues. Now, raise your hands if you're familiar with what that is. Come on, I need to know. Speaking in tongues, have you heard about it? Now, if you've come from a Pentecostal background like I have, that was like your main thing. That's what you did. And Paul is addressing this issue of speaking in tongues. Now, for some of you here this morning, if you haven't been here in a while or you're not familiar with church, the first thing that's going through your mind is, oh no, what's going to happen in this service? Are we going to start busting out in tongues and everybody going cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs? And what's this going to be? Are they locking the back doors? How do I get out of here? Here's the thing about it. Paul's going to address it because it was a gift that they had. But they were abusing the gift of speaking in tongues. And so there was a problem with it in the church that Paul's addressing. And some of us, when it comes to things like this of speaking in tongues, there's two things that they're dealing with. Speaking with tongues and prophecy. Prophecy in church. And for some of you that are here this morning, whenever somebody talks about spiritual stuff, you get kind of weirded out. Am I speaking to anybody? You just kind of like, I'm not into that. I've decided for myself that God has not given me the gift of tongues. Like, I've made that decision. And for some of us, it can be really unsettling talking about gifts that we're not familiar with. And when it comes to prophecy, we're like, that's weird and I'm not into that either. We feel like if the Lord has a word to speak to me, he knows my address. Amen. He can speak to me himself. I don't need nobody coming to me and speaking a message to me when God knows me and knows where I'm at. And so we can have these differences of opinions about spiritual stuff. And some of us we don't like spiritual things outside of our understanding, and we normalize it and we try to do away with it. It makes us uncomfortable. We deny it. And for others, when it comes to spiritual gifts in the church, we don't want nothing to do with certain things because we've seen it abused so much. Now, when it comes to spiritual gifts, it's almost like a marriage. Have you guys seen marriages that have gone bad? Yeah. Now, that should not make it to where you don't ever want to get married again, right? It just makes it to where you, when you do get married, you do want to do it right, okay? And it doesn't matter. I'm not talking about if you've been divorced or whatever. The point of it is we've seen marriages fall apart, and we can look at it and be like, man, that's never going to, I don't want no part of it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. Or we could say, you know what? When I get married, check this out. I'm going to love my wife. I'm going to raise my kids in the Lord. I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to be an example. I'm going to be a man, and I'm going to do what is right by my family. And so we don't just throw out the whole idea of not getting married. So Paul's like, listen, these spiritual gifts are good, and they're good for us to have, regardless if they've been abused by somebody else, but there's got to be order with the gifts. Amen? Amen? So in chapter 14, Paul's going to be dealing with the order of these spiritual things in the church because they're out of order with their gifts. Have you ever been to a church that's just speaking in tongues all over the place and prophesying all over the place and hooping and hollering and all of these things? And there's got to be order. There has to be order in the church. I'm so passionate about this. There's got to be reverence to God. He's holy. We have to honor God. We have to respect Him. When we come into the house of God, it is so important that He is number one and we are way down on the list. So God is concerned about order, and because He's concerned about order, I'm concerned about it too. You know, you want order in your life whether you want to admit it or not. When you go to the dentist, he doesn't ask you, which tooth shall I pull? You're hoping that there's an order and a formula that's guiding this guy's hand because, you know, he pulls the wrong. I had a friend who was a dentist, no joke, and he asked me, Jason, which tooth hurts? And I told him he pulled out the wrong one. No joke. 4 hours later, I'm like, I'm in excruciating pain. He goes, Jason, I think we pulled the wrong tooth. So he went and pulled out another one. So I'm like toothless. There's got to be order. Because if there's no order, there's going to be pain. So this is what Paul says. Are you guys there? Chapter 14. He starts out with this. And he says in verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. So Paul starts out and he says, pursue love. Go after it. The word pursue means hunt. Like you're on the prowl for something. And I started asking Paul why he chose that word. And this is what he told me, is because sometimes you got to look for something to love in somebody else. Sometimes you got to hunt after it. Sometimes it's not always right there on the surface level. Sometimes you got to go a little bit deeper. And what he says is, he says, pursue love, look for love. How many of you guys know that love is easy when it's easy, but when it's hard, it's definitely not easy? You got to look for something. He says, pursue love. Because some people are like quicksand. You get too close to certain people, am I speaking to anybody? And they will drag you down, not lift you up, amen? And so Paul's like, listen, sometimes loving people means you gotta do it from afar. You cannot have certain people back. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm telling you right now, God's telling you right now, there's people coming into your life right now that you're to love them. But you can't have them back. You gotta pursue love. That doesn't mean everybody can hang out with you. He says, pursue love, go after it. But he's saying also, desire gifts, pursue love and desire gifts, especially prophecy. So prophecy is the reason why he wants us to especially go after that, is because prophecy, prophecy does what tongues cannot do. Now, prophecy proclaims a word every Sunday, like we just got done talking about. Pursue love, but that doesn't mean that you can have people next to you. And this is the Word of God teaching us how to hang out with each other and do stuff. That's called prophecy. Prophecy is not always foretelling the future. In fact, very few times in the New Testament does it even refer to that. So when someone speaks prophecy, there's a prophet. You might want to head the other direction, because this is what it means. Proclamation. I'm prophesying right now. And what proclamation is, that's why Paul's like, it's so important to prophesy, to proclaim the gospel. It's what tongues doesn't do. And so when he's saying pursue that, it's different than tongues, because speaking in tongues, nobody can understand tongues. But prophecy encourages, helps, and it directs us. So Paul says, and we're going to talk about it a little bit more. Paul says in verse 2, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. So tongues, number one, in the church, there's a right way and there's a wrong way. Whenever somebody speaks in tongues, according to Paul, in church, we've seen this before. Some of us have seen, have you guys been to church services where they speak in tongues? The reason why we go through the Bible is because we want to know what the Bible says, right? Not a denomination, not a particular movement. We're about what God says. Paul says when someone speaks in tongues, he's speaking to God, which means if someone speaks tongues in the church, it's going to be praise, adoration, honor to God. So that's number one when they're speaking in tongues. That's the right way. So if we go to a church service and there's tongues being spoken and there's an interpreter of that tongue, this is what the tongue's going to be. Something towards God and his holiness and and him being magnificent. Not next year Trump's not, this is the tongue, this is the interpretation. Next year Trump gonna end up in jail. That's not it. It's gonna be directed towards God, not us. That's number one. So when he's saying that, he's saying that's the right way to do it. The wrong way to speak in tongues is when somebody speaks in tongues and somebody gives an interpretation other than it going to God, and they're saying, hey, this is what's going to happen in our country. This is what's going to happen in your life. This is what's going to happen in your church, or whatever the case is. That is not tongues, the way Paul says. He says you're speaking to God. What did he say? Not to man. So we need to remember that when we're hearing people, because we've heard it done in different ways. And so this is what Paul's saying, the right and the wrong way to do it. So tongues are to be directed to God, not to man. And he says in the Spirit, he speaks mysteries. In Romans chapter 8, Paul said there will be times that the Spirit prays through us with groanings that cannot be uttered. So when Paul says this, he tells them that there's mysteries that are uttered. And it prays for what we need. This is the tongues. It's kind of hard to explain, but you guys got to hold in there with me. There's two types of tongues. There's tongues that happen in the church that glorify God that somebody else interprets. Then there's tongues that we have, and I believe we all have this gift, that when we're alone in prayer and we start praying to the Lord, our Spirit intercedes on our behalf. Our Spirit starts speaking with him and his ours, and there's this communication. And you know what? Sometimes you're at your bed, you're on your knees. I'm talking to the ones who speak in tongues. You're on your knees, you're by your bed, and maybe God puts somebody in your heart, in your mind, your kids. Maybe it's somebody you know, or a situation in your home. Maybe there's some kind of worry or anxiety in your life, and you get it in your mind, and you're before the Lord, and you notice as you quiet your heart, your spirit starts to speak. And Paul's talking about those mysteries right there that we don't understand. We don't get it. And what's happening is the Spirit is interceding on your behalf and on my behalf, because sometimes we pray for stuff that we don't need, and God knows what we need, and so he doesn't always answer our prayers. You know, sometimes people will say, Jason, I just need you to pray that this girl, she just sees that I'm the one. So pray for it. And I'm like, man, she may need prayer that you're not the one. I don't know what to pray about that. So what we do is we go before the Father and we open up our spirit. And we let our spirit talk to God. And it's odd. Paul's later going to say, it's mysteries. You don't understand it. And so we want to pray for people for what they need, not what they want. Amen? Amen. That's a tough one, because people want you on the side on everything they do, and you can't get on board with everybody. So we pray with our spirit with God, and he's interceding, and he's working in all of that. That's the other way. So those are the two ways that Paul addresses speaking in tongues. And so in verse 3, Paul says this. He says, but he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. And he who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the church. So Paul says prophecy builds up. He's telling his friends in Corinth that he would like them to prophesy, proclaim the word of God. Why? Because he said it edifies, and that means to bring God's word to life and have them together. That's what we try to do here at Ark Bible. When we teach, we want to look at the word of God, and we say, okay, what do I do with this in my life? That's edification. He says exhortation is to encourage and to comfort. And so Paul, now in verse 5, that's what prophecy is in verse 5. He says, I wish that you all spoke in tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. And so Paul says to them, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Now, when he says, I wish that, it's not him saying, I hope one day you all get this gift of tongues. He's saying, I want you to use it. In other words, you already got it. But then you say, Jason, I was here in chapter 12, and he says, are all apostles, are all prophets, do all speak in tongues? And the hypothetical question is, no, they don't in a church setting. But we do have the gift in a private one. There's a distinction here. You see what I'm saying? Am I showing it to you right? Are you getting it? So we have a gift. And the reason why Paul keeps asking these hypothetical questions about do all speak in tongues and do all do this, is because he's getting fed up with the church abusing spiritual gifts. And we're going to get into why in a second. So when Paul says this, he's like, I wish that you all. He's saying that, listen, you have the gift already in you. And it's kind of like this. I heard this. Someone was talking about this story. I heard this last week. And this woman had bought a brand new car. And I thought it was so, when I was thinking about what tongues is, I started thinking about this woman. She bought a brand new car, and she couldn't get this thing up 45 miles an hour. And so she took it in, and she found out that a squirrel had packed the air filter full of nuts. So every time this girl would try to get up over 45, she couldn't do it. But when they removed those nuts, guess what happened? Boom, that car was gone. There was nothing in the way inhibiting it. It was able to go full open. When we come to God in the secret place, and it's just us, we're not trying to impress anybody. It's like removing the blockage in the language. Because sometimes, church, there's things that you need to be praying for that you just don't even know how to pray for it. That's what Paul's talking about. So he says it's talking in mysteries and the Spirit's interceding on our behalf, and it removes the blockage. In verse 6, he says, but now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things in life, whether the flute or harp, they make a sound unless they make a distinction in the sound. How will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So Paul, he's saying when there's tongues, there's got to be an interpretation or nobody's going to know what's being said. There's got to be a distinction in the tongues. So Sunday does not mean tongue day. Okay? Go ahead and tweet it. There's got to be a distinction. And so Paul compares it to me, like, or you, grabbing the guitar and wailing on it. Just going crazy. Like, you know how we do our birthday songs, our happy birthday songs, how horrible they are? Because we still haven't learned how to play the song. Out of like 8 years, we still don't know how to play happy birthday on the guitar. And you can tell. And Paul's saying, listen, speaking in tongues without somebody interpreting or making a distinction in the sound or in those notes, it's nothing but noise. And how many times have we been in church services where 15 people are talking in tongues? There's no interpretation, and it's nothing but noise. And Paul's like, listen, you guys got to chill out with that. There's no question that there has to be an interpretation, a distinction of the tongue. And if not, then it's just noise. That's what Paul says. And so in verse 8, Paul then says, that how, if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare them who's going to prepare him for battle? So likewise, verse 9, unless you utter the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. And there are, it may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. So Paul's like, if you're speaking in tongues, how's anybody going to know what's being said or what's going on? Good question, Paul. And now he compares it from a musical instrument to being a foreigner. Have you ever talked to somebody who doesn't know English at all? You know what I do, and I don't know why. Maybe it's because I get nervous. But I start talking louder. And Vicky's got to remind me, they're not deaf. They're Mexican, Jason. And I'm like, yeah, Fred Myers is down that way. There. Vicky's like, what are you doing? I'm like, they need to understand me. She's like, you yelling at them is not going to fix it. There's a problem. And Paul's like, there's a problem with you guys speaking tongues, and you can't understand. The louder you go, doesn't make more sense. And so there's got, again, he's banging this drum. Whenever there's tongues, there's got to be what's called interpretation. And so they're speaking in tongues in the church in Corinth. They're going crazy. Everybody's talking in tongues, and there's no interpretation. And Paul has had it with them. And church without interpretation is just straight up noise. And so in verse 12, he says, even so, you, since you're zealous for spiritual gifts, and that's always a good thing, let it be for the edification of the church, and here's why, so that you seek to excel. So that's why Paul says prophecy is so important, because it's proclaiming the gospel. And the gospel is a gift that everybody can get on board with and be blessed by. So we can't, here's the thing with what's Paul saying, you can't bless people with the gospel if you're trying to impress people with your tongue. And so Paul is tired of the church in Corinth going out of order with these spiritual gifts and people picking up and bouncing out the door, and nobody's getting saved, and no lives are getting changed because they're focusing on these gifts. So in verse 13, he says, therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. So Paul, when he prays in tongues, and he says that his understanding, he doesn't have understanding. It's unfruitful. And I think with a lot of people, listen, when it comes to spiritual gifts and speaking in tongues, and I know some of you guys haven't, you know, you're kind of coming in on a weird message, but just hang in there. When we speak in these tongues, and Paul's talking about it, and he's saying, I don't understand what I'm saying. That's a reason why a lot of people don't pursue tongues, because they get on their knees or they try to connect with God and they're like, nothing's happening. My eyes aren't rolling back in my head. I'm not shaking, freaking out. There's nothing going on. And then when they hear or they start speaking in this tongue, whether with their mouth or with their heart, you know, you can speak in tongues and your mouth will be shut. And they think, well, you know, nothing's happening. Why do it? Here's why. Because tongues edifies you. Tongues builds you up. There will be times where you're so depressed, you'll be thinking about stuff you haven't thought about doing in years. You'll be going through some really difficult situations, discouraged, have some anxiety, dealing with counseling on your depression. And you know what you need? You need to be built up. You know what you need? The strength of God to come around your life and encourage you and say, hey, kid, I got you. you're mine. And the way that that happens, the Word of God says, when we speak in tongues, there's an edification, there's a building up in our spirit that when we get up on our knees, we get up different than when we went down. With strength, with power, with love, with peace. And so you say, you know, we could ask Paul, well, why speak in tongues, Paul, if you don't get what's going down? And he's like, this is why. Because when I get up, I'm built up. And I want to encourage you guys too. Spend that time with the Lord if you're going through something, because this might be the thing that you need that is different with what your relationship is with the Lord right now, where things aren't seeming to move and you're discouraged and you're upset. And so Paul, he says that in verse 14, he prays with his spirit praying, but he doesn't have a clue as to what is being said. And so verse 15, we're getting ready to close this out. He says, what is the conclusion then? He says, I will pray with the Spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding, and I will sing in the Spirit, and I will also sing with understanding. So Paul, in verse 15, he comes to the conclusion about connecting with God, and he says, I'm going to rock both. I'm going to do both. I'm going to speak in tongues, and I'm also going to speak in a language that he gets and understands, and he's going to praise God with. That's the conclusion of it. In other words, what Paul's saying for him is that speaking in tongues, he says, I will, means it is a choice, not a feeling. So when we're thinking about these things, we want to remember that it is a choice that we make, whether in church today when we're doing worship, or you're at home and you're praying and you're on your knees or whatever, and God starts putting things into your mind about your life. Have you ever done that, where you just sat down with the Lord and he started showing you pictures about your children, about your life? And it's like this, he shows you images. And whenever God shows me those images about Vicky, about my kids, about my grandbabies, I just think, okay, here's my opportunity to connect with you. And Lord, I let him go for it, and there's this connection with God. And he says, it's a choice, not a feeling. And it's important that we remember that, because sometimes we don't always feel it. Sometimes you're not going to understand it. These are all normal things. They're normal things. But here's the thing about it, is that we don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater just because we don't understand it. You know, when we teach kids how to pray, we don't just set them up and say, hey, just, you know, figure it out. Just, you know, just whatever. We kind of lead them. And they may not get it right, and it may sound weird, but as children grow, their prayers get powerful. And it's the same thing in speaking in tongues with God. You know what you do? You just kind of go for it. You just go for it, and you sit with the Lord in his presence, and it might feel weird. What's that old saying? It's only weird the first time. You guys ain't never heard that saying before, or maybe you have and you don't. It's only weird the first time. But we want to grow in that connection with God. So Paul closes this out, and he says in verse 16, he says, otherwise, if you bless with the Spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say amen? And by the way, we say amen because it means so be it. Amen is the one word that everybody knows in every language. Any Christian, check this out. You guys want to go to Uganda or wherever? You say amen, they get you. They're like, amen, amen, amen. It means so, let it be. So if I was to say, oh God, let Olive Garden come to Newport, we say, amen. You guys don't like Olive Garden? Amen. Food Corral, I don't know, but something besides like a bank and a hospital. But here's the thing, we want amen, we say amen, amen. It means I agree, so let it be. And we want to remember that when we're teaching the word, we want to be bringing the word in such a way, like Paul says, we can say amen, God is good. Amen. He's strong. He's able. So we want to, he says, listen, how are people going to know how to say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not understand what you say? For you indeed give thanks well, but the other is not edified. Worship team, come on up. Verse 18. He says, I thank God that I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also rather than 10,000 words in a tongue. And so Paul's focus is on prophecy, on proclaiming the word, over speaking in tongues. Because I don't know about you, but for me, when I get into the Word of God, I need to understand it because I go through things. And I need to know what God is saying to me. I need to know how to get through past hurts to get through present breakthroughs. Some of you guys need to know how to deal with going home to a fight left over from last night. Some of you are dealing with some other addiction things, temptations that come up. I don't know. We have all of these certain things that are going on in our life, and so we go to the Word of God, and what Paul says is, listen, tongues is great, but you need to know the Word and how it connects to your life, or else you're not really living. And so that's what is important to Paul. Tongues are important for sure, but getting the Word of God is even more important. Lastly, verse 20, brethren, do not be under... He says, brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice, be babes. In understanding, be mature. And he says, with men of other tongues and other lips, I will speak to this people. And yet for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are a sign, not to those who believe, but to the unbelievers. But prophesying, proclaiming the word of God, is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? Yes, Paul, they will. And he closes, let's close out with this. But if all prophecy and an unbeliever, an uninformed person comes in, and he is convicted by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Would you guys stand with me as we close out this morning? That's what we want. We want God to do business with us. Where we say God is truly among us. Why? Because it's opening up some stuff inside of us that we kind of just wanted kept aside, nobody looking at. But God looks at it, and he reveals the secrets of our hearts, and we proclaim that God is with us. Check this out. This is so important, and this blessed me because I thought of that woman at the well and how she had so many things going on in her life. Do you remember the girl at the well? She came thirsty in more ways than one, amen? You remember what Jesus said to her? Go get your husband.
Someone needs to tell Jesus this girl's been around.
She goes, I don't have one. And he goes, you know what? You're right. You've had five. You got five husbands. And what had happened was when that word was proclaimed to this girl, there was something in her heart that just knew she was in the presence of God, and she bailed. And she was like, I'm telling everybody. And I started thinking about what is the connection about God convicting our hearts. And when he does it, we look at him and we say, God is here in this place. And here's why. Because even though we know he knows everything about us, he still stays with us. That's why Paul says, when people's hearts get that, they say, God is truly in this place. So I want to leave you with this. Build yourself up, pour yourself out. Did you hear it? Build yourself up, pour yourself out. I'm going to say it one more time for the people in the back. Build yourself up. Pour yourself out. Now listen, there's a couple different people in here today. You've been building yourself up. You've been getting the word in you. You've been coming to church. You do worship. Maybe you speak in tongues and you get up and you feel great. Did you see what Paul said? The end result is not just that we get built up, but we get built up to pour out into somebody else's life. And I know sometimes you just want to hit the brakes on your life and say, God, I just need you to build me up right now. And that's true. But you know what? You need to pour out too. And so bow your heads with me and let's pray that we're going to start building ourselves up in the Lord for the purpose to start pouring ourselves out for the Lord. Amen. Father, we come into your presence today and we thank you for your holiness and righteousness. God, we seek to honor you, to glorify the name above all names, the King of Kings in this place, and we see you as holy here. And Father, I pray for the person who's come in here today and they're really at the end of it. They're ready to go back to some things. Maybe you already have. Maybe you're in a place of backsliding. Maybe you're in a place of digression instead of progression. Let me tell you what you need today. Jesus, it's time for you to build yourself back up in the Lord. You remember what David said? I will strengthen myself in the Lord. Nobody's going to do it for you. This is a decision you've got to make. Where you say, I'm tired of living like this. I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm going to the one who can change it. And so if that's you here this morning, I want to pray over you. Build yourself up in the Lord. Build yourself up in the Lord. And for the others of us, pour yourself out. And this morning as we come to the communion table, we're going to do one worship song and we're going to take communion. We're going to go out of here, but I want you to go out of here with this. Jesus Christ poured himself out for you more than anybody's ever poured himself out for you. He's forgiven every sin. Even the ones you might be in right now. He's a sin forgiver. He's a life changer. And this morning, if you haven't put your faith and trust in him, I want to give you an opportunity like I do every week. I don't know where you're at, but this might be the day of salvation for you. And what you need to do is just confess your sins to God so he can cleanse you and make you righteous and forgive you and give you peace and healing. And if that's you, listen, just pray for your neighbor. Father God, in Jesus' name, forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean of all my transgressions and iniquities. Lord, examine my heart. Cleanse me of it all. Fill me with your spirit that I may live in righteousness with you, Lord. In Jesus' holy name. And the church said, amen. Let's